Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, episode 2, season 11. It is good to be back, and a slightly different programme this week. While Jack Bennion still works out my end of the business from episode 1, we decided to start with him a little bit later in the programme. So at the top of the programme, there's myself and Ryan Champion. Hello, Ryan Champion.
Hello, I think we have slightly different programmes every week, don't we?
I try to mix it up a little bit. But I wanted to kind of do this thing where I realise how UK-centric this programme is going to be, because we're kind of doing a bit of a back the Brit in WRC this particular week, because we're going to have Gus Greensmith joining us a little bit later on, of course, is doing WRC 2. He's going to tell us all about that. But one man that's signed up for the junior section is Tom Williams. Welcome to Absolute Rally, Tom Williams.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us, Tom. Obviously, it's good to get you on, because we've not had you on yet. I spent a great deal of time with your dad recently, and he's been telling me all the different things, what you've been up to and everything else. Quick question before we go any further. Are you warm yet? Bearing in mind how much you've been in snow and ice recently.
Yeah, I've been out in Norway the winter, so it's back at home, minus one, it's sort of normal, minus 20 out there, silly thing.
What have you been up to out there, Tom?
I've been working with John Hawkland over the winter, just playing a bit of driving on the ice and getting used to studs, but yeah, it's cold out there.
Yeah, just a bit. And what's it like to work with a little bit of a legend that is John Hawkland?
Oh, it's been amazing. The amount I've learned out there. There's so many drivers come out and he's just taught me so much. So lots of new experiences ready for the first round, which is Sweden in two weekends time.
Of course, well, you know, I was going to come to that in a second, but we'll go through it now. Why not? There's no rhyme or reason to this program, my friend. You've signed up to the Junior World Championship. Obviously, it's changed a little bit now with the Pirelli tyres, slightly different prize structure and things like that. Was it a difficult decision to make to go straight to JWRC? Because you have done some rounds of the British Championship, and of course, you did Finland and Germany last year.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the plan originally. It was just a slow progression through to the World Championship. But after working for a few teams out there, everybody kept on saying, you've got to learn the events, you've got to, the World Championship just stays at the same place. So that's what we've done. And I'm just trying to learn the events and get the mileage, because it's so different out there. Because they're like endurance events, the WRC, compared to some of the other rounds. But the British Rally Championship is still in mind, as it's such a good learning ground.
Obviously, the beauty of that is that you can do, you know, I know, having spoke to your dad and stuff like that, obviously talking about making pace notes and things, that's been a big thing for you. Obviously, doing it in British Championship and taking that, I suppose, to JWRC is a bit of advantage, and the fact that you've also got your own car as well.
Yeah, definitely. British Rally Championship is definitely where I started making my notes from scratch. And the roads out there were so technical compared to some of the ones in the WRC, like Finland. It's just flat out and jumps. And that's a real strain on the notes. But it's definitely BRC is where I learned it, and WRC is where we want to learn around.
Yeah, no, it's a great move, because I must admit I was pleasantly surprised to see it, because I know obviously you've kind of gone about your business in a very uneventful, wouldn't be doing you justice, but you've just kind of got your head down and kind of arse up, if you pardon the expression, and just got on with it, which I kind of quite like, because sometimes when drivers start out, and obviously there's the backstory of obviously who your dad was involved with. Of course, he was involved with Richard, and obviously Richard was your godfather and stuff like that. You didn't, you know, that was mentioned once, I think, and then it was never mentioned again, and you've just kind of got on doing your own thing. Was that a conscious decision?
Well, yeah, it was just, we want a really steep learning curve. Every championship I've done, I've learned a huge amount, and then instead of doing it twice in a row, I'll just step it up a year and go to the next championship, depending on the budget. So the learning curve's been huge, and this year's is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be huge. But then I'll carry on learning. So I'll learn more than I would probably if I did a championship twice in a row.
Absolutely. Now, I know from, again, from the old man that, you know, you were out working on the car, you were learning the car, you've been obviously fitting dampers, and, you know, you've been running your own R2 and R2T car. Do you think that's going to be really, really helpful? It's going to be weird for you not working on the car that you're going to be doing JWRC, but certainly that knowledge now you've built up of working on the R2 cars, you know, that's, is that, do you feel you've got a little bit of an advantage maybe over one or two others there?
Yes, well, 2017 was definitely one of the biggest learning periods of my life, because we had the car at the house, it was in the garage, and I had it helped from a few people, and they'd just come up in the evenings, and I was working on the car with them, so I learned a lot from them. And there was this thing, drive shaft and suspension, as you said, in the shed, so that was really, I learned a huge amount about the car, and that's definitely going to really help in 2018 this year in the junior WRC, because the event is so long, as you'll definitely have problems, no doubt, but yeah, I hope there's going to be an advantage over a few others.
Fantastic. The plan, obviously, is JWRC. Have we got anything else fixed in place, or are you just going to kind of focus on JWRC?
Well, yeah, JWRC is the priority, obviously, but depending how it goes in the year, well, I don't know, we might have a few plans, but junior WRC, I think, there's a lot of time and commitment, so I think that'll be enough. But it's nice to be run by Amstel Poland, because if they're running the car, and I know their cars will be immaculate, I can spend more time looking at in-car before the event and getting my fitness a lot higher.
Okay, now your co-driver is, again, another one of those stories. Your co-driver actually sat with me many, many years ago. I can't lay claim to any of his abilities, by the way, but he did actually co-drive for me as well. Phil Hall, who is possibly one of the fittest co-drivers out there, because I'd see him on various forms of social media, climbing mountains and things like that. Is that going to be a big thing for you? It's just, you know, you look like a fit young man, it has to be said anyway, but have you got somebody working with you? You know, again, I suppose, you know, Liz Linford and people like that who I know you've got access to, I suppose. Are you talking to people like that?
Yeah, definitely. This winter's been huge on my fitness, just trying to step it up, because I really felt it after GB. So I've had Liz Linford help. I saw her on Monday, so that really helped. And then Phil's seen Liz as well. And it's great to have Phil, because he has so much commitment and he wants to push as well, push as hard as me. So it's definitely, fitness is a big thing now in WRC, so I'm going to see Porsche in the next few days, and they'll hope give me some good advice.
Wow. Well, one man who, as I say, we introduced him at the top of the program, sorry, I haven't even brought him in yet, but Ryan Champion's there. Of course, he's been playing on snow and ice, albeit in Porsches recently, but definitely the right place for young Tom to be going, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we just talked about, Tom's already had a taste of WRC. He's gone about his rallying the hard way, if you like, so far, in terms of working on the car and doing a lot of the preparation himself. And now you're going to a professional team, Tom. I mean, in some ways, like you've already alluded to, it means you can concentrate on the job of driving, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely, when I was working on the car with a few friends, it definitely was great. I learned a huge amount. It's kind of getting the balance working on the car and getting your fitness and in-car for the event, so it's not getting really tired working on the car late night and no fitness. But this year will be a lot more fitness and in-car, so it's just getting the balance, really.
Now, you've had a taste of WRC already, as we've just talked about, but you're now going into the World Junior Championship. Is there any particular areas you've highlighted after the events you've done that you're working on? And, you know, what's your realistic goals going into this year?
Yeah, definitely. It's a really big step for me, and as 15 very quick drivers going into the championship. So I'll be trying to learn as much as I can against some of the top drivers to step down from WRC2, but also we'll be trying to step up every event. So if I can get a 30 place to Sweden, I'll be trying to go quicker than that the following, quicker and quicker all the way to the end of the year. But I'd also want to finish every single event.
And like you said, finishing is very important to get the experience. I mean, as you said, in comparison to some of your opposition, they've got more experience than what you've got so far. Do you see this as a learning year very much?
Yeah, for sure, a complete learning year. and we're just trying to rack the mileage under our belts from these events, because these events are just so vital for me. And if I can do it following after the year, we can hopefully get the pace notes and build everything up every year. So I'll be definitely trying to get the finishes and get as much mileage as I can.
And you spent a little bit of time on snow and ice. Going into Sweden, it looks like, well, at the minute, the conditions are good, big high snow banks. You must be looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. I got a small taste out of Norway. And as you know, there's a ridiculous amount of grip when you put the studs on and the snow banks. It's almost like you have rails on the side of the road for the snow banks you can slightly touch the back of the car with.
Now, I'm hoping John Hoagland hasn't told you any stories of when the likes of Richard Burns, Mark Higgins, Johnny Milner, and myself all went to Norway, because we all got into all sorts of trouble up there. But so did you ever go there, Tony?
No, I'll be honest with you. I've been looking at what you were doing, and I've been looking at what Tom was doing. In a non-stalking way, by the way, Tom, don't panic. But I've been watching with envy, because I think, you know what, I'd love to even just to go and do a day on that stuff. And of course, Hoagland is just, you know, he's one of those guys as well who you kind of think, you could just, I think even having a cup of coffee with him, I think I'd probably learn, let alone doing what of course young Tom's just been doing.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, John has been there and done it, not only from a point of view of himself competing on World Championship rallies, but then also he's been coaching drivers. And as I said, you know, every British driver coming through the ranks has been to John Hoagland at one time or another. So a brilliant character to learn from. But as you've already said, Tom, it's a unique environment to learn, isn't it, driving on the lakes?
Yeah, I can definitely say it's one of the best things you can do for your driving, going to John, because you're on a lake, there's nothing to hit, and you can just go way over the limit, like 200%. And once you've gone to that limit, you can just tone it down and start going through to the details. So it's definitely, if you're nervous of driving, that's where you have to go. And also, I think I've heard every single story of every driver whilst I've been there.
Have you got anything on Ryan Champion at all, Tom, that you could share with us?
I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but I remember someone brought their mum's estate car out and rolled it on the way to the stage. That's all I can remember.
Well, that wasn't you, was it, Mr. Champion?
No, that one wasn't me, no.
Might have been one of the Higgins as well. We'll have to ask them about that. So, Tom, obviously, now you're getting ready. Just for our listeners, there's many out there who are just rally fans as well. What does Tom Williams do getting ready now for Sweden? What's your next week looking like?
Yeah, well, this week's just a normal week for me at work, but I'll be leaving on Sunday out to Sweden, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is recce. So just going over the roads, making pace notes. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the rally. So Thursday we'll start with the city stage around the circuit in the stadium, I think. And then it's the 3 big days out on the ice.
With regards to working on your notes and stuff like that, doing what you've just been doing, Is it more difficult to kind of find reference points and stuff in the snow and ice for your notes, or is that something which hasn't become an issue as yet because you've not done it? I'm just trying to think from your preparation, you know, because obviously when you have this whiteout situation, don't you, I guess?
Yeah, well, I feel really happy at the ice now because I did a bit absent with John, so I'm happy with the grip and what it looks like, but definitely things like wearing yellow glasses is a huge help. And just it is just like a gravel rally, but everything's white, so it is sometimes quite hard to see when the light's low. But yeah, it's almost best when it goes dark and you have your lamp pod on. That's when you actually see more.
Fantastic. Now, when you went over to M Sport Poland, I've seen some great stuff, bits and pieces on social media that you put up. Did you have any of the drivers there to take you out in the R2T? Was it Elvin or anybody like that who took you out and put it through its paces?
Well, we went there, there was about half the drivers there, and we all went just down the road to a gravel stage, and we all got to test the car each. Unfortunately, there weren't any of the top drivers there testing the car, but we could just have a go in the car and do a proper stage, and it was really good. The cars, I can't believe how clean and immaculate the cars are. They'll be really happy for Sweden.
Good man. Well, listen, you're going to be our man in JWRC this season. I think we spoke about that. Are you good with that? Are you going to come back and talk to us about the experience as it happens?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Yeah.
Good man. Well, listen, we've got everything crossed for you, Tom. Keep it shiny side up. Enjoy the experience, and we'll catch up with you.
Just before he goes, do you know what? Tom's very good at tent building now. I've witnessed it on two occasions. Yeah. and the first time he had to build a tent with a storm coming about an hour afterwards, and he spent the night in a tent with thunder and lightning, didn't he, Tom?
yeah, if you want me ever to build you a tent that needs to come around, give me a call.
Do you know what? I'm pretty
just
certain.
To clarify this story, I will just explain. This is at the Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Oh, okay.
Tom got a late entry the first year, and you and Dad went off to buy tents, didn't you? And next thing I saw was you two trying to pitch tents before it started pouring there.
Yeah, that was round one. I think round two of last year. So this year, my parents went on a caravan, but I still went to the tent. So I see what it goes like this.
Good man. Yeah, you don't want to take one of those in the car with you. Let's not get into the situation when you happen to camp in Sweden. That's never going to be good for you. That's not good preparation. Thank you, Ryan Champion. That was as left field as what it probably could have got as a question before we let Tom go. Tom, listen, it has been lovely to catch up. And as I say, we will speak to you after Rally Sweden. Keep a shiny side up. Yeah. Enjoy it. And we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Folks, that was Tom Williams. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to Absolute Rally. Get all the latest updates by following us on Twitter at @Absolute_Rally.
Welcome back to the second part of Absolute Rally. I'm all alone. Well, I'm kind of all alone. I'm going to come to that bit in a second. But Gary Boyd, who I gave props to the other week, both on the podcast and also on Twitter, he is a great stat man. He's a great stat man. And he sent me over some stats because we started talking about maybe trying to get some stats in off the back of the absolutely useless Absolute Rally pub quiz that we did for Christmas. But how is this for a bit of rally trivia? For this week, up to 2009, WRC points were awarded. There's position 1, 10 points, position 2, 8 points, position 3, 6 points, position 4, 5, position 4, 4, down to position 8 being 1. Since the new points of P1 being 25, P2 being 18, P3 being 15, etc. were introduced in 2010, we've never had a season start as close as this year on points after the opening round. Currently, just 9 points separate the top 4 drivers, and yes, of course, the new power stage points for the top 4 introduced in 2017 helped achieve this. And that's the kind of thing that Gary Boyd sends me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I love him for that. So there you go. Anyway, I'm not on my own. I've got a man who's been on the podcast a couple of times, I think, by now. But I wanted to get him back on because there's a story to tell. Alex Karani, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me back. It's been a little while, but always excited to be on the show.
It is always good to have you on. Now, listen, a couple of things. There's been some great stuff on social media, and we are going to put stuff out when the podcast drops. This will become apparent if you're not fully aware what's gone on. But you're co-driving for Crazy Leo in the Canadian Rally Championship, opening round. I always mispronounce it. Please, Alex, correct me. It is the opening round of the Canadian Rally Championship, which was the... Was it Pierce?
You say Pierce Neige, but my French is awful, so I probably bastardize it and all the... French Quebec people are going to be very, very upset, but I'll try my best.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. Well, you've just heard it. So it's the opening round, Canadian round. Pierce Neige. Yeah, right to us. Put us straight, by all means. Now, it was a normal one. Now, to be fair, and you know, we were hoping we were going to have the Canadian champ on this particular week because he's been a bit busy because he's been doing ice notes for Gus Greensmith, who's coming up a little bit later on. Yeah. In the podcast. So Antoine wasn't there, and it must have felt like it was all to play for you guys.
Yeah, a bit. I mean, last year was sort of like on pace. We were close to Brandon Semenuk, the mountain bike rider. But generally, we'd slot in second behind Antoine, and he was quite tough to beat, you know, best car, best driver. So not much of a chance this year. You know, we came in with number 2 on the car, but actually we were first on the road in a production car. So I think we look like the favorites having won last year, but Leo, I think, was done with being well behaved. You know, last year he drove for the championship, drove for finishes, and we drove a very smart rally, Paris-Neige. This year, his last year, the end of last year, he said, "Oh, I was able to finish and prove I can keep the car on the road. So next year, I just go flat out." And that's what we did. Well, so flat out from the word go, leading the rally. So
it was flat out. Now, it was one of those things. Now, I suppose Snow and Ice is quite apt at the moment. We've just gone from Monty, of course, in WRC. We're going to Sweden next week. We've just been talking to Tom Williams about. But, you know, you guys obviously also have proper snow. Or rather, Canadians have proper snow on this rally. Now,
proper snow rally, yeah.
The last time I seen imagery like I seen that you guys put out from the weekend was, it reminded me of a WRC event, and I think it was Henning Solberg in a 307 WRC, the most ugly wheel rally car in the world. And he rolled, and he ended up taking a lot of snow in, and he had goggles on and everything else. This is exactly what happened to you guys, isn't it?
Yeah. We had to watch the video and decide who had it worse, you know, Henning's co-driver or me. Paris-Neige is a proper snow event. When we started the rally, it was minus 28 degrees when we went over the start ramp, and it never got higher than about minus 15 all day. So lots of snow, big snow banks, proper rally, and also quite an endurance event that I don't think it gets credit for. It's 235 stage kilometers in a single day. So it's like an ERC length event. One day, probably about 40% in the dark. So it is, it's a really tough test and a great proper event.
Are you guys allowed studs in the Canadian?
Yeah, so very small street legal studs. So they don't give you a ton of grip, but it does, at least, you know, we're on the second pass of the stages and all the, you know, fresh snow goes off the line and, you know, gives you some grip on the ice. So it's not terrifying, but it's still pretty low grip.
So, just kind of take our listeners through. I've seen the onboard, and I'll be honest with you. I thought he's moving quite well, and you know, he has quite a lot on his notes as well, doesn't he, Leo? The other thing I was thinking. Geez, there's a lot of information he's trying to compute here, and just as I thought that, that's when it seems to snap. Funnily enough,
yeah, it was quite funny. I mean, everything during the morning loop went perfectly, and then we went to the long forest loop, which is 95 kilometers of stages without service. So we took two spares. At the beginning of the loop, we just had one. And we had two spares in the boot, not really, you know, inside the car, but pretty far back. And it actually really changed the handling of the car. So it was like under heavy braking, the rear was really trying to step out on us. And Leo wasn't exactly slowing down either. And it just got away from him a little bit, fifth gear. So when it gets away with you like that in fifth gear and you feel the car start to tip over, you think, oh, it's going to be a plane crash. Somehow the big snowbank just absorbed all of it. And I don't know, maybe I absorbed a lot of it with the snow. So we did a little spin roll thingy and took most of the snowbank with us with the impact. We thought we were way off in the woods and done. And Leo turned the key, car started right off, it started right up and just kept driving away. I don't think right there and then we lost more than 5-10 seconds. But then the problem was you could see that the car was absolutely filled with snow and I started clearing the car with my hand just to be able to see and try to dig myself out and dig the pace notes out. But I'm probably the worst person to do that. Like, you know, I'm awful in the cold. My hands turn white and go numb, and when it's plus 5 degrees, I'm wearing gloves. So that probably wasn't the greatest thing. It was 8Ks into a 40K stage, so we ran the rest of the stage like that with the window down and all the snow that she's seen from the other videos on board. So we kind of took it a bit easy the rest of the stage. We maybe dropped like 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, and then at the end of the stage, we came right into the refuel where our service crew was. Who had a good laugh, so they could refuel us, but they couldn't help us. So instead, they decided to get out their phones and take video and laugh and take the piss out of us every moment that they could get.
I do you know what? I've genuinely, when I've watched the videos back, I find it hard to remember ever seeing somebody with a shovel shoveling out snow over a car out of a seat.
Metal shovels going straight into the car and trying to shovel it out. And you have to think also, like, there's all the electrical components in the car, there's the intercom, the ECU, and we're trying to protect them the best we can. But of course, we didn't get all the snow out, and a lot of it just melted in the car. And somehow the car was, you know, miraculously perfect. I mean, we did another 60 Ks of stages that loop, and won the rest of those stages, and then came out in the dark and won all the stages except for the one that we had a puncture on, and no electrical problems or anything. So I think Leo had commented that CanJam Racing might need to think about building submarines in addition to rally cars.
So how did you guys end up? You were second overall, wasn't you?
Yeah. So we did climb back to second. Oddly enough, it wasn't the roll that cost us the win. It was the puncture on the long stage that ended up costing us more time, since it was in the dark and it got really cold again. So kind of minus 25, and the hydraulic jack wasn't working for a while. So, and also the snow was too deep, so it wasn't getting the car high enough off the ground. So, you know, a 3-minute tire change turned into six. So, unfortunately that's actually what cost us the win, but hey, we'll definitely take second after an event like that.
Absolutely. It's just a great story. And as I say, when we drop the podcast, we'll also put the videos out that kind of follow on from this as well. But the rest of the season then is, I suppose in Leo's mind, maybe in your mind as well, you were thinking, you know, we're going to make hay while the sun shines, as it were, with Antoine not being there. Hasn't quite gone that way. But as ever with Leo, there's a story and there's a video which will probably go viral.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, we wanted to come away with the win, of course, but I think, you know, Leo, especially as a driver, he's, you know, he likes winning, but he likes going flat out more than he likes winning. So, you know, an ideal situation, he'd be able to battle Antoine and go flat out to the end and win. But, you know, if it's a battle and going flat out and finishing second, he'd prefer that over just cruising and finishing first. So that's just how it is. But we weren't planning on doing the full Canadian championship this year. He wants to come over and do some stuff in Europe, hopefully have another chance at Finland, since he never made it past Shakedown a few years ago. So we're trying to see what you know, what we can do and what cars we can get and what we have the budget for. But hopefully he'll be coming over here a few more times rather than me just going over there all the time.
Well, of course, because you're the American co-driver doing the Canadian Rally Championship who lives in London, obviously. Logistically, it all makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit weird. So I'm hoping to do more stuff in my country of residence this year. we'll see how that goes.
Good man. Well, listen, stay in touch, Alex. I just wanted to get you on. Yep. I just think it's a great story. And please send our best to Leo. We have had Leo on. We will get him on again soon. And listen, perfect. You look after yourself, mate. And we'll catch up with you again.
Yeah, we do. Thanks, Tony.
Alex Carani, thanks for joining us on Absolute Rally. Folks, we'll be back after this break.
You're listening to Absolute Rally. Get all the latest updates by following us on Twitter at @Absolute_Rally.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally. Jack Bennion was meant to be with me. He's still trying to figure out my end of the business from last week. So we gave him the rest of the day off, and hopefully he'll come back next week and he'll have figured it out. Anyway, I'm not on my own. I did mention it at the top, although I probably got it a little bit wrong. For some reason, I had in my head that Gus Greensmith was going to be doing Sweden. He's not. His program starts in Rally Mexico, but it seemed like a really good time to get him on because we've not spoken to him for a while. So welcome back to Absolute Rally, Gus Greensmith.
Thanks for having me back again.
I know, it's all good, mate. You're our man on WRC too. You know, it's not. There's no show without punching. You know, we've got to have you involved, haven't we? We've got to have you involved. So you did Monty in your R2 car, which we've just spoke about off air, which was is equally fun as it was frustrating because you're seeing all your counterparts, your contemporaries in R5 cars. What was the logic behind doing Monty in the R2 car, Gus?
The experience, it was always my dream to do Monte Carlo in an R5 because that is always been my favorite, like, because of the snowy conditions, etc. But when it came to deciding on the program for this year, Malcolm and my dad both said, no, you do it in R2. And I was easily outvoted, and that's how we ended up in the R2. But to be fair, it was the right thing to do, because it is a tricky event. It's just a shame I didn't get to do all of it.
Did you do the recce for it last year?
Yeah. I did the recce for it 2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Happy day. Obviously, we've gone jump straight in here. Obviously, Craig's still with you this year, which is good. So you got that continuity there. Continuity is quite a big thing now, because it's second year, of course, with M Sport. Obviously, we just mentioned about the R2 car, but it is a full R5 program for the rest of the year now.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. It's great to have Craig back as well, because we've got on really well and everything seems to be working perfectly between us. We're putting in a lot of hard work away from the rallies. So, no, and we enjoy each other's company most of the time, I think. I think I might get on his nerves a couple of times, but it's usually pretty good.
Well, he's got two little boys now, so probably feels like he's also got a third one now that he's looking after you as well.
Yeah, I've never seen a man look so excited to go to a rally as he did after Monte. I think he said to me that even Monte Carlo days, really long days, very short hours, that would still be the best sleep he's had.
Yeah, I can relate to that a little bit at the moment, but I just hope his missus isn't listening, so we drop him in it. But I tell you, you just mentioned obviously about Craig. We noticed, by the way, you had your Ice Snow crew. Was Anton Lesage, obviously a multiple Canadian rally champion. Now, I know Craig sat with him. Is that how that deal came about as well?
Yeah, well, I was looking for one probably from around October last year, and all the options that we came through, I wasn't really too enthusiastic about. And Antoine never came into my mind. And as soon as Craig mentioned him, I started looking into it and looking at all of his background and what he does and stuff. And I thought there's going to be no better man that knows how to describe snow than Antoine.
Absolutely.
So it made a clear choice, got in touch, and then he came to Monty and did, to be fair to him, a fantastic job with Stephen Lancaster. The grading of the snow was exceptional, especially on a Saturday.
Fair play. I'm just trying to think of any other events now. There's no other events really now, is there, that you can use them for? That's the thing.
No, unfortunately not. I think they tried to push the gravel through gravel crew through last year, but it never got through. So unfortunately, that's all we get to use him for. But hopefully, the FIA come to the senses and allow us to use gravel crews in 2019.
Absolutely. And I just realised we've moved away from Monty, and I did want to ask you about that. But your programme for this year, just take us through the events. Where are we starting and where are we ending?
Well, we're definitely starting in Mexico. And then the rest of the year is a bit unconfirmed. It's not unconfirmed. It's nine events is confirmed. That's happening no matter what. But which nine events we do, we don't really know yet. I think I'm pretty certain I'll be in Portugal because it's my favourite rally. And I'd want to do one tarmac rally for at least for the WRC2 championship as well. So, but yeah, we're definitely starting in Mexico.
Okay. Nothing changed, obviously, with regards to same co-driver, same team, same tyres. Everything is now there. I know it sounds like a very, very obvious question. Preparation is everything. And obviously last year you were told to go out and get mileage. You got that mileage, didn't you, Gus? Is this where now you feel you need to kick on a little bit?
Oh, no, I don't think I quite got the mileage. I think I hit a few too many rocks last year, so I think everyone got quite mad at me towards the end of last year. But I think on the whole, I got plenty of the mileage. And to be fair, I don't think if I didn't push as hard as I did in some rallies last year, I probably wouldn't have got the opportunities I got this year, because we wouldn't have shown the pace. But otherwise, it would have been a year of like Wales GB, just driving around and finishing. So, and that's not how I like to drive, and it's not how I enjoy rallying. So, yeah, it's the foundations were set well last year. I have certainly a very good set of notes. I'm a lot more familiar with the whole R5 situation with the team. Working a lot more closely with M Sport this year, which is good. So yeah, I think the foundations are set for this year. I can't see no reason why we couldn't challenge for a top three in the championship if I'm consistent.
Do you take something from the fact that obviously, you know, the likes of Timo was there with you last year, and you know, you, obviously he's there this year, but albeit, you know, splitting his time between an R5 and a WR car, does that give you a little bit of an impetus as well? Is he kind of blazing a trail a little bit for you, I suppose, as Elvin did as well?
Yeah, well, he's the next step in a driver's career, because once you get to my point, the only next place to go to is the one team he's in. So he's taken the path that I want to follow, but a little bit quicker, obviously. I want to be a bit faster team with us, and there's no point. But he's done a great job, especially last year, and he's a really good driver, and he's really good to work with as well. So it's handy having him in the team, as it is a 5-time world champion and also Elfin.
I was just about to say, do you have much interaction with the likes of Seb and the likes of Elfin? You know, obviously the service park, it all looks the same, but obviously you guys have your own service bays and stuff like that. But you know, do you get to go to tests? You get to get feedback. You get to ask questions.
Oh yeah, it's pretty free flowing in M Sport. That's one of the reasons I enjoy being there so much. It's not, there's no real animosity towards any of the drivers. Everyone gets along pretty well. So if you always want to ask a question, it's no problem. And it always helps with Craig and Dan being good friends. So yeah, it is a good place to be to learn, definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How does Gus, bearing in mind now there's this big gap between Monte Carlo and Mexico, what does Gus do for 2 months?
Run.
You're not running to Mexico, are you?
No, I hope not. It's just there's little bits and bobs, a bit of testing before Mexico, obviously the recce in Sweden and weather crew. So we've still got plenty planned. And to be fair, I don't really spend much time at home anymore. There's always something I'm doing, whether it's training with the F1 coach Rob Wilson, or if I'm training with Craig. I'm generally there's not too many days where I'm home anymore, which is exactly how I like it. I'm feeling like I'm keeping myself very busy. So to be fair, I think I'll be in a great place when I get to Mexico.
Happy days, happy days. So Sweden next week, you're going to be doing the recce, you're also doing weather crew. Are you out in your thermals putting the thermometer in the ground? Are you getting that involved?
I think I'll be in thermals and about 4 winter jackets, because it looks a bit colder than it was last year. But yeah, unfortunately, yep, that's going to be me next week. I'm going to be cursing to myself when I see the R5 come past, but part of the job, so I'll make fun out of it.
It's good, because after we had young Tom Williams on, it seems odd because you're still young Gus Greensmith to me, but in terms of experience, we got young Tom Williams at the top of the program. He's just come back from being over at John Hoglands for, I think, best part of 2 or 3 weeks, and I know his dad quite well, and I met his dad for a coffee at Autosport, and he was saying, I sent him out there, he thinks he was driving, but he was going to be picking up cones. I just want him in the environment, and I just want him around rally people, and I just love that ethos of just wanting to be involved. And obviously you're there doing the recce as well, but you're still involved. You know, it's about being involved in the team and being part of a team, isn't it?
Yeah, that is one of the biggest things. That's what my dad's always pushed me into doing, which is just spending as much time as you can with the team.
Yeah,
that's how it always has to be. You have to work as much as you can with the team to get to know them, to create a better relationship with them. So for me, I think I saw Tom in Monaco, probably. I think he was in Monaco as well. And that's what you need to do. You just need to involve yourself in a team, get to know everyone, and begin to understand how the dynamics of a team work.
Yeah. And of course, you share the same recce car. He has got your old recce car. How is this continuity? There's continuity in our podcast. The person who started it has got your old recce car. But let's be honest.
I hope he drives it slower than I did.
Let's be honest with you. Recce cars, that's the best way of putting it. A lot of rally drivers have been through rally cars, and yeah, I'm not going to go any more than that, but they've been called certain names which are quite derogatory, and we won't say any more than that. You can use your own imagination. But anyway, listen, Gus, as last year, you're going to be our man in WRC2, so we will catch up with you before you run off to Mexico, in reference to what you said before, but before you fly off to Mexico, we'll have another catch up with you just to make sure preparations are good and everything else. So are you good with that?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Happy days. Gus Greensmith, thank you for joining us, Absolute Rally. Folks, this has been our second episode of this series. You know where we live now. It's Absolute_Rally on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Absolute Rally. All the previous episodes, of course, now on absoluterally.co.uk. And we'll be back same time, same place, in your little podcast hole next week.